in this week's parsha, it'll be when you come to the land that he gives you as an inheritance and you will conquer it. Very interesting balaturim in the beginning of the parsha. At the end of last week's parsha, we learn of Amalek. Parsha of Amalek. Zohar es asher osu l'cha Amalek baderech. The first parasha in this week's Sedra is the parasha of Bikurim. What is the connection, what is the smichus between the parasha of Amalek and the parasha of Bikurim? Many different pshatim that are said, but the Baal HaTurim says in Mechudosh the Kipshat. He says at the end it says, Timcha Zecher Amalek, V'hoyo Kisova Yal Haaretz. That's the smichus. And that tells me that Klal Yisrael was commanded to destroy Amalek when they come to the land. All two uses the law from Yad the Knesset, or it doesn't mean immediately, because first they have to appoint a king. But it means when you come to the land, there's a mitzvah of Mohammed Amalek to destroy Amalek. Dr. Balaturim, this is why Amalek wanted to forestall their coming to Eretz Yisrael. The Medrash tells us that he was the one that told Pari Melech Mitzrayim that the nation is running away from him. And he wanted Pari to run after them, to catch them, to delay their coming to Eretz Yisrael, because he knew that when they come to Eretz Yisrael, there's a mitzvah to destroy him. Amalek also was responsible for going back to tell Lavan. This is also a Medrash, that when Yaakov Avinu ran away from Lavan, who was the one that went to tell Lavan? That was Amalek. So therefore, the whole parish of Bikurim over here mentions that. Arami Yavidov, Lovan Arami, wanted to destroy my father. Why? Because Amalek went and told him that he was running away. And the second thing was Vayevit Mitzrayim, with the whole mice of Mitzrayim, when finally at the end they chased after them and they got sunk at Kriyas Yamsuk. And who told them to chase after them? This was Amalek. That is the smichus of the parishes. So again, what the Baal HaTurim says, it says, when you come to the land, you have a mitzvah Machias Amalek. This is why Amalek wanted to be ma'akib, they're coming to Eretz Yisrael. Because that would mean they would fight to kill him. And he was the one that told Parai to chase after them. And also, he happened to tell Lavan that Yaakov Avinu ran away. This is why we say in the parish of Bikurim, Arami Avidavi, Amalek was the guy of that. And secondly, by Yerid Mitzrayim, the culmination came when Pari chased after the Bnei Yisrael because of Amalek. Sounds like a very nice Valaturim, but you have to understand, Lefi the pastors, how in the world did Amalek know that there's a mitzvah to destroy him? Lefi the pastors of the Parsha, the mitzvah to destroy Amalek only came after Ashikarcha Baderach. After they already went out of the tribe, and after Parah in the Mitzrayim, after the Mitzrayim were sunk in the Amsuf, that's when Amalek first came afterwards. Ashikorcha baderech, v'izamer b'chokon evshalom acharech v'atoi v'yogeya. Because of that, we were given the mitzvah wiping them out. But before that, there was no mitzvah wiping them out. So why would Amalek think there's a mitzvah to destroy him? Why would he want to delay their coming to Eretz Yisrael? And the cloud, the Torah wasn't given yet, so there was no mitzvah yet. So why did Amalek think that there was a mitzvah? This question was bothering me, and I found that there's a Baal HaTurim Al HaTorah with the Pirish of the Aderes, Rav Eliyahu David Rabinowitz Tumim Zatzal. And he asks these questions. While the Torah was not given yet, so why would Amalek go back to tell Parai that the Yidden are running away from him because he wanted to delay his destruction? There was no mitzvah yet. And how would he know about it anyway? I was thinking, maybe, the Derech Efsher, we know that Eliphaz, Amalek's father, learned Torah with Yitzchak Avinu. So it could be, it's the same way Avraham Avinu knew Kol HaTorah Kula. Yitzchak Avinu also knew Kol HaTorah Kula, and he learned with Eliphaz, the parsha of destroying Amalek. And Eliphaz conveys that to Amalek. Now, a little bit difficult to understand that Yitzchak would tell Eliphaz that his son Amalek is a mitzvah to wipe him out. I was thinking it could be that Amalek wasn't a particular person yet. The mitzvah of the Torah was to wipe out anyone that tries to minimize the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch. And Amalek is the tachlis of making the Ein HaKiseh Shalem, that the throne of Hashem is not complete. So it could be there wasn't a particular individual yet that there was a mitzvah to destroy. But the chlolos in the Torah, at the time Yitzchak Avinu knew that that person or that nation that stands for being mamayz the kiseh HaKavod of Hashem, it's a mitzvah to destroy. And Amalek figured out on his own that he is that person, because he knew that that is his purpose in the Bria. The male, he figured out on his own before the Torah was given. And even before he went to fight against Klal Yisrael, he understood that eventually he would be the one that the Torah is mitzvah to destroy. I saw another pshat b'shem that was Naim LaTorah, of what the connection is between Amalek and the mitzvah of Bigurim. And it says, V'hoyo kisovi with the vav achibur, to attach it to the mice of Amalek. And also by Amalek, it also says the word V'hoyo. So what's the connection between the two? Zokta Zayim La'Tayra. The Melchama of Amalek was instigated in Rephidim by the Tsar Shalashim. Why? Because Tsar Shalashim knew that the Yidden were on their way to being Makabal the Tayra. And the Tsar Shalashim, which is the Sultan, and Amalek is represented by that, they are misnagid to Tayra. So you do what the Chafetz Chaim said, that the Tsar Shalashim, who is the Yitzhahara, who is the Satan, he didn't attack Avraham Avinu, he didn't attack Yitzchak Avinu, he attacked Yaakov Avinu. If Avraham Avinu represents Chesed, Satan would rather we don't do Chesed, but he could tolerate it. And Yitzchak Avinu is Avoida, and the Satan could tolerate that as well. But Yaakov Avinu represents Torah, and that is something that the Satan cannot tolerate. What happened by the Tsar Shalashim when he fought against Yaakov Avinu? Chazal say, Eilu Tamchin D'Oraisa. When the Tsar Shalashim sees that he cannot be even Atzeach over Yaakov and his Kayach HaTorah, what does he do? He's mashpia on those that support the Torah to weaken their support. And the Mele Yaakov Avinu and Klal Yisrael that sits and learns, they will be weakened for lack of support. Dr. Zayim La'Tayra, even though the mitzvah of Mechias HaMalik is only lost in love, Baniach Lecha Hashem Alekecha, Mikolei Vecha Mishavim, but already now we start with the beginning process of wiping out Amalek. If Amalek wants to wipe out Tayra, and wipe out Klal Yisrael by taking away the Tayra from us, then the way to fight against Amalek is by supporting the Torah, by supporting Shevet Levi that sits and learns Torah. That is the way to do it. That is what we see in the Mitzvah of Bikurim. The Bikurim were brought to the Kayin, who was Shevet Levi. And also right afterwards in the Parsha of Bidi Maestris, I gave everything to the Levi and so on. I supported Torah. That is the way to build up Torah, and that's the best way of our erasing, eradicating Amalek, Bizman Azeh, even before the mitzvah is finished. So Amalek came to attack us, to be Meineas from Kabbalah Zatayra. That is what he's against. Neither Keneged Mida, we are given the mitzvah of Ikurim to support Shevet Levi, the Kahanim of Shevet Levi, and with Meisha to support Shevet Levi. That is the Tamchin Dairaisa, the supporting the Torah, and that way we fight against Amalek, even Bizman Azeh, when we don't have that mitzvah in its entirety. In Vidui Maestris, we say, Shamati v'kol Hashem Elokai. I listen to the voice of Hashem, my God. Osisi k'kol Hashem tivisani. I did everything that you commanded me to do. Hashkifo mimayin kotzicham in Hashemayim. Look down upon us from your holy dwelling place from heaven. Uvarechas amchoras Yisrael v'sa'adam Hashem esakalon. And bench Klal Yisrael on the land that you gave us. There's a Yerushalmi in my Shesheni that says, come and see how great is the koyach of those that do mitzvahs. Because whenever it says hashkifa, it's referring to something bad. It says by hashkifa ha-malachim al-zdaim, the malachim looked at zdaim, that was a bad kind of look. And after zdaim was destroyed, it says by hashkif avram, avram avinu saw, and he saw the smoke coming up. So hashkifa is a bad kind of a look. Yet over here, because we're giving tzedakah, because we're helping out others with our ma'aseh tzedakah, the hashkifa turns into something good. The Medrash says the exact same. supposed to do with their money or with their belongings, it turns into good. Ksav Sofer brings down a question from his father. The Heilige Ksav Sofer, Schusa Yogan Aleinu, why did Torah write a bad lashon which now gets turned into good by giving tzedakah? Why should it be miramis for a bad look at chila? Now we're turning it into good by giving the matanas we're supposed to give. Ayyaisi, you're Makai in the mitzvah. You did what you were supposed to do. You should say, look at chila, good lashon of looking. Habita. Habita m'main karshicha. What's up is the Torah writes a bad lashon? Oh, but you switch around the bad lashon to good by giving your matanas. Say, look at chila, good lashon. So Yosef Chaim Zonneville says the following terrors to the question. It's a dover yodua to anshe maisit and to talmidei chachomim that the more a person has in gashmius, it's on the cheshmet of his oyla haba. Like the Chavetz Chaim used to say, that the more a person has gashmius, es oif zayn oylem haba. Marshal Lamar dover daima, a fellow buys things on credit. And he thinks he's saving himself money. Huh? I'll use a credit card and I won't have to pay. And he buys one thing and a second thing and a third thing. And he has money in his pocket. He's not spending any money. He feels modest at the top of the world. Then at the end of the month, when the bill arrives with a itemized report of what he bought and how he has to pay, all of a sudden his pockets get emptied out. So the same thing's up to the Yosef Chaim. If a person stocks up on Olam Hazeh, there's one thing and another thing and another thing. It's on the schedule of Olam Haba. It takes away from Olam Haba. I saw that the Brisker Rav, people used to offer him things, offer him appliances in the house, and offer him all kinds of amenities. B'shum, oif from the Indian, he would not take it. Somebody once brought him a new stove without his knowing about it. Then he thanked the person, and right away the thing was put in the attic up and bite him. Avati explained that any comfort, extra comfort that we have down here, it's off the cheshmet of Olam Haba. Dr. Yosef Chaim Zonneville, Mamedvarim Amurim, that's until you bring your Bikurim, and until you give your tzedakah, and until you show that your moment is Dikir, possessions are for the Tachlis of Hashem. Once you show that your moment is Dikir, possessions are for the Tachlis of serving Hashem, then it comes off of the credit of Olam Haba, and it becomes yours, of course. So they live by Bikurim over here, for example. What happens? A person works very hard. He toils on his field. He works night and day, like it's kind of plowing it and fertilizing it and planting and harvesting, all of the things you have to do. So the type of a person is that he wants to see the fruits of his labor. And Mamashi has a taiva to take those first fruits and use it for himself. But this fellow is Klavish's type. He runs to the field. He sees that the field is blossoming with his first fruits. Instead of taking it for himself, he ties around a little string. He says, these are Bikurim. And the same thing with all the other matanas. He uses Kubris, and Isarish, and Isashani, and Isarani. And he does everything he's supposed to do. So he shows that he is using his acquisitions. He's using the blessings that Hashem gave him. He's using them to serve Hashem. Oh, so then what was a chayv to him, now all of a sudden turns to his credit. And now it's an asset to him. That's why the Torah L'chadchila writes Hashkifa. We're stocking up on Gashmias. You have a beautiful bounty. The field is growing tremendous things. You're putting things in your storage house. But that could be on the cheshbon of Olam Haba. And that's Hashkifa. That could be a midas adin. But the minute you come, you give the Bikurim and the Tum and the Maiserish and the Maiserishani, and you give it out to everybody. So then the Hashkifa, that which took away the Chitchila from Yoylam Haba, that turns into a bracha. It doesn't come off of Yoylam Haba. Either rather, it's to your credit you didn't exist. That's why the Torah wrote it in such a way. The Torah goes on to say, Ubohu Alecha, Ko Habracha Ze'ela V'Yisigucha. All of these brachas will come to you, and they will overtake you. For you will listen to the voice of Hashem. All the Mepharshim asked the Kasha, what did the Torah add with the word the Yisigucha? They will reach you. They will overtake you. If they came to you already, it's a pshita that they reached you. So why does the Torah have to add those words, the Yisigucha, after they already came upon you? And the Ibn Ezra and the Sipurna both say that the chiddush over here is that the brachas will reach you even if you don't put any obstacles into it. They will chase after you and they will overtake you. You know, even if a person makes no obstacles, if you deserve the brachas will come to you. The Nativ says a similar shot, but he says it B-S-R-B-R with a little bit of a different connection. He says the way of people is that they're so pressured and they're so into finding their mazel and getting bracha that they search everywhere. They go here, they go there, they go there. They try this malach, that malach. And a lot of times they're searching in all the wrong places. It's very possible if they would stay within their own dalet avos and they would do something which is normal, the mazel and the bracha would reach them in their place. But a lot of people, they search in all kinds of places where they're not going to find their bracha. So it teaches us over here, if you do what you're supposed to do, if you listen to Hashem, no matter where you can chase the shadows of mountains and trees, you can chase nothing. You can end up who knows where. Over Alpha Pekin, the bruch is going to reach you. The Rebbe Rabbeinu of Shizka used to say a famous story of a Yid that lived in Krakow, Rav Isaac Bar Yeklish. He was a tremendous ani. And he dreamt one night that he could find the hidden treasure under the bridge in Prague. Tremendous treasure he could find. He dreamt it one night, and he dreamt it a second night, and he dreamt it a third night. So he was headed off to the bridge in Prague, ready to dig over there to find his treasure. The only problem was there were guards nearby, and they were patrolling the area back and forth and back and forth. He was scared to start up with the guards. He waited and he waited and he waited one night and a second night and a third night until one of the guards stopped. This guy's around here a little bit too often. What does he want? He stops him. He says, who are you and why are you here? He says, my name is Isaac Yeklis. I come from Krakow. And I kept on having a dream that if I dig over here by the bridge, I could find a hidden treasure. So the guard starts laughing. That's a panic. You believe in your dreams. I have a dream that there's a guy, Isaac Yeklis, in Krakow. I've had this dream come upon him. I've had a dream that in his house, right under the furnace, there's a hidden treasure. You think I take that dream seriously? You know how many Isaac Yeklises there are in Krakow? I'm going to go around from house to house looking for it. Ridiculous. You believe in dreams. And the fellow turned right back around again. He ran right back to his house. He dug under his furnace, and he found the treasure. This is not a marshal. This is a true story. It's your door that he found a tremendous oitzer, and with some of the money, he built the shul. What was the limit over here? Sir Rabbunim used to say that people go here, and they go there, and they go for brachas here, and brachas there, without things. They don't end up finding their bracha, and they don't realize that a lot of times the bracha lies within themselves. They have the potential to bring out the bracha in their very own rishus. Here the Torah tells us, no matter where you go, ubo alach kol bracha sa'ela v'yisigucha. I once heard a Mori de Kipshat from our governor of Naftali Friedel, who lived here in town. He spoke by us in Yeshiva and Oil Torah, Chanukah Tov Shin Nun Dalet. And he said over the following. Somebody asked the Kotzke this shayla. If it says, what does it have to say, v'hisi gucha? So the Kotzke, in his original sharp and brief style, he said, v'hisi gucha is hasagas harayvet. Hasagas harayvet. Hasagas harayvet. And you open up a Rambam. The Rambam makes a statement right next to the Rambam. It says, Hasog is arriving. The Yisiguchas Hasog is arriving. He had no idea what the Kotzke was talking about. He went to the London in town and he told them over. He asked the Kotzke the Shaila. And what the Kotzke said, the Yisiguchas Hasog is arriving. And they told him, this is what the Kotzke meant. The Rambam makes a statement. And the Ravid right away challenges him and he critiques him. Hasaga means a critique, criticism. Where do you get to say such a thing? And why do you say such a thing? For the Gemara is not mashing like that. And Lehevim, there's a kasha on this one somewhere. Hasaga is a Ravid. The Torah tells us, Uvo alachachal abrachas ha'ele, these brachas will come to you. But after you get the bracha, the yisigucha, they're going to criticize you. They're going to challenge you. What did you do with the bracha? Are you utilizing the bracha for good? Are you utilizing it to strengthen your amun? Are you thankful to Hashem because of the bracha? Are you utilizing it for chasadim? Is it giving you menuchas hanefesh to be able to sit and learn Torah? Well, the hepech, maybe you're getting so right to rhyme into the gashmias that it's taking you away from Torah. That's that uvo alecha brachas ha'eleh, the yisigucha, hasogis arrived. They're going to challenge you and they're going to criticize you. Having bracha from Hashem is an achrayus. And that's really a call to us. You know, we have to realize, Baruch Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us bracha. No matter which bracha he gives us, there's a tide on us. What did you do with that? I heard from my Rosh Yeshiva, one of my last meetings, my Rosh Yeshiva Reb Chaim Steinsetzal, he was talking about Arichas Yonim. He was 97, 96. He was talking about the bracha of Arichas Yonim. He said, you find in Chazal that they have different Tanoim and Amiroim, Baneh Erachta Yonim. And the simple chat is, Baneh Erachta Yonim, what was the schus that caused you to have Arichas Yonim? My Rosh Yeshiva Reb Chaim types, Baneh Erachta Yonim. With what did you utilize your Arichas Yonim? Did you utilize your Arichas Yonim for good tzachim, to learn more, to help other people, to daven better? Or stop, it was a waste. You sat down idly and you wasted that time. That's also a challenge. Baneh Erachta Yonim, the Arichas Yonim challenges you. What are you doing with that extra time? And that's the shot over here, the Yisigucha Hasogis Arayim. Say with just one more word, Baruch Hatzov Ir, Baruch Hatzov Asod. I saw a very nice word from Rav Shmuel David Volkin Zatzal. He says the following: the Meister Shahoyu was the Levush Soret. He was a rabbi in a city called Saraka, and the people of the town, they made his life bitter. They gave him such soras, mamish. They didn't give him a moment of menuchas and effort. He said, Mahali Lutzorazo, he decided he's leaving, he'll get his fellow someplace else. So, you know, Akhrei Mois Kedosh, remember, when he's leaving already, you know, they already decided to give him COVID, and the Imamish gave him a big escort, they were malada him outside the city, they gave him tremendous COVID. Once they were outside the city, the Rav got up to speak, and he says, Mamish, Ashrefa Saraka, the city of Saraka, such a beautiful town. It's so wonderful, it's so gewaltig, it's amazing. Mamish, he's praising the town that's Shaya. Somebody said to him, Rebbe, we never heard this from you. He never praised the town for its greatness. Like, what happened over here all of a sudden? So I'll tell you, Parson, the town, the Epsom, is a gewaltig town. It's amazing, it's gewaltig as Aachen. The problem is you people, you ruined the town. You took away its shine, you took away its bracha. But now that you're here with me outside the city now by itself is a gewaltig city. So he said to Pshat, is Baruch HaTov Bo'ir. You benched a you in the city. Get bracha in the city. Act the way you should be and you'll be, bring bracha to the city. But in addition to that, Baruch HaTov Basod. A lot of times a person, when he's amongst people, so then it's easy for him to be a tzaddik because he has to make a good impression. And the fact that there's other people around him, that sort of like limits him to acting the way he should. But when he's out in the field by himself, nobody's watching. So over there, he's already not with the same standards as he is in the city. So for that, it says, Baruch HaTov Bo'ir, when you bring bracha to the city and when you're amongst people. In addition to that, Baruch HaTov Basodeh, when you're in the field by yourself, you should act in a way that's becoming and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you'll also bring bracha to the Sodeh. There'll be blessing over there as well.
Good Shabbos,
everybody. Zeit
gesund start. Good Shabbos. Yes, you can. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.